Thanks, worship band. Well, we're pretty much on time for me to just say, hey, bless you. Let's pray for the food and go on from here. But oh, and I hear some clapping. No, you got to hear me out a little bit first. I'll keep it short though. Together is better. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, "When you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far." It's a great statement, great statement. Now, obviously, when you use the baseball analogy, you need more than one person to play baseball. But there's even some individual sports that are just a whole lot more fun when you do it together. And one of the individual sports that I've enjoyed over the years is like doing some road races and some triathlons and things like that. But about 6 years ago, my friend Alex, he said to me, you know what? It'd be really fun to do a race where, you know, you do it like a group, a team. I go, really? He goes, yeah, you know, there's this thing called adventure racing, and there's this event coming up. It's called Storm the Shore, and it's going to be a blast. I've got another friend who wants to do it. It takes three guys to do it together. It'll be so much fun. I'm still kind of skeptical. Okay, yeah, okay, let's try it. Let's give it a shot. It was, I heard some of the elements that were to this race, and I was going, really? We had to jump into these canoes. And one guy sits in the middle of the canoe, and one person in the front, back. And the person in the middle is kind of going, you know, what do I do during this part? You know, and we canoed from, you know, Second Narrows Bridge up to Deep Cove. But the guy in the middle, he's just kind of saving his energy, because the next thing we had to do is jump into a forest and do this whole orienteering thing. So while two guys are just dead beat, just like completely panting, one guy saved himself to actually be thinking and thinking about compass, map, and how to get to all these different places. Then after we did that, jumped on some bikes, mountain biked up through the mountains, and got to this place where all of a sudden they said, hey, you got to run, you got to get off your bikes, you've got headlamps, go into that cave and find what you can. And sure enough, on the wall, they had different numbers at different points in the cave. We had to remember the numbers while we're dead tired and panting. Remembering a whole bunch of numbers is a whole lot better together than trying to do it alone. We got to the other side of the cave, and they said, okay, here's a sheet. Make those numbers equate to make this answer. So thankfully, one of us could think while being tired and kind of figure out this math question. Couldn't have done it alone. We did it together. Got to a certain point, and then they give you an egg. It's kind of bizarre. And they say, now you got to make sure this egg gets in one piece to the end of the race. And so one guy had a backpack, had some shirts and stuff like that. We kind of wrapped up the egg and put it in there. And we had to run through this whole area. Along the way, one of us, that'd be me, got a cramp in my leg. I'm like, what do I do? One guy goes, get down on the ground. Okay, give me your leg, stretches it out. It was much better together, doing it rather than alone. Got to the end, there was this big rope course, and we had to climb over and get on each other's shoulders to get up on top. Couldn't have done it without a team. You know, just like that in life and in the journey of life, we need each other. There's times when one person might feel unnecessary, but is actually going to be used in a profound way. There might be times where you just couldn't do it without a number of people together doing it. The spiritual life is meant to be a shared experience, and standing together is so much better than going alone. We're going through Proverbs right now in this series, and it's got so much wisdom for our lives. I'm looking forward to the next 5 weeks yet, where we're going to continue on in this better. There's so many better statements where it says it's better to do it this way than that way. Last week we talked about wisdom is better than gold. There's a number of verses from Proverbs that talk about how much better it is to be together with friends. It says, never abandon a friend. On the next page, I think. A bunch of Proverbs. Either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. There's times when crisis hits, where it's difficult, and we need each other to support us. Proverbs 27, verse 6, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Sometimes we need to hear the hard things. It can actually correct us and help us in our journey. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Sometimes we need that. And that happens when there's a deep level of relationship there, an ability to hear from each other and trust each other. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. All of us, at times, feel that there's a battle going on in our lives, and there really is a spiritual battle going on. There's an enemy who wants to defeat us through our habits, through our past hurts, and to have somebody there together with us, to walk through those together. Unbelievable. Now, I know a lot of people have many acquaintances, but a lot of people can be in a big crowded room and feel very alone. A lot of people can go through life going, yeah, you know, I got people that I hang out with, I might work with. But a lot of people don't know what it means to really live in biblical community. Now, thankfully, we heard some great testimonies of that already on the video today. Koinonia is the Greek word that's used in the Bible again and again for this kind of shared life, for this kind of partnership of coming together and really living in committed and intense spiritual relationships with each other. Many people really don't live that way. And in some ways, we live with an impoverishment that can be greater internally than even a financial poverty. I was in Zimbabwe in February, and what was amazing to me in the midst of this scene of poverty that goes on in that country was the way in which when I would go into a church or into some of these orphanages or these places where there was Christian biblical community, even in the midst of what we would consider very impoverished conditions, you got the sense that there was this joy, this incredible coming together, and it was centered around the person of Jesus. It was centered around the person of Jesus. It wasn't just about another handout or somehow. Certainly there was just so much that can be done to help each other in that environment, but there's this dynamic. Peter talked about Pentecost Sunday, and I'm glad he reminded me of it last week, because what I wanted to talk about this morning is a passage from Acts, and it's this classic passage about biblical community at the end of Acts 2. But it can't be skipped to without visiting the front part of Acts 2. And that was on the day of Pentecost, the word penta meaning 50 days after the resurrection. We celebrate on this Sunday the fact that God in himself in the Holy Spirit came and began to indwell us. Back in Solomon's day, it was the temple. It was the kind of this physical building. Now, for all Christ followers, we have this togetherness with God through the Holy Spirit, which is profound. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. There's this incredible sense. There were all these people from all over the world that were in that city at the time and needed to hear about Jesus in their language, and they were able to explain that there's this person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who's come to earth, he died, he came back to life, and now he actually has given us the third person of the Trinity to live inside of us. God is a relational God. And I think to really get biblical community, you have to start with the Trinity and realize that God has lived in community from infinitely past. And at the day of Pentecost, he actually invited us to enter into that in a whole new, profound way. I love how C.S. Lewis puts it in his book, Mere Christianity. He talks about this Trinity, this dynamic presence. And I'm going to read here. Kind of a page or so. It says, and that, by the way, is perhaps the most important difference between Christianity and all other religions, that in Christianity, God is not a static thing, not even a person, but a kind of dynamic, pulsating activity, a life, almost a kind of drama, almost, if you will not think me irreverent, a kind of dance. The union between the Father and the Son is such a live, concrete thing that this union itself is also a person. I know that this is almost inconceivable, but look at it thus. You know that among human beings, when you get together in a family or a club or a trade union, people talk about the spirit of that club or family or trade union. They talk about this spirit because the individual members, when they are together, do really develop particular ways of talking and behaving, which they would not have if they were apart. It is as if a sort of communal personality came into existence. Of course, it is not a real person. It's only rather like a person. But that is just one of the differences between God and us. What grows out of the joint life of the Father and Son is a real person, is in fact the third of the three persons who we are God. This third person is called, in technical language, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God. Do not be worried or surprised if you find it, or him, rather vaguer or more shadowy in your mind than the other two. I think there is reason why that must be so. In the Christian life, you're not usually looking at him. He is always acting through you. If you think of the Father as something out there in front of you, and of the Son as someone standing at your side, helping you to pray, trying to turn you into another son, then you have to think of the third person as something inside of you or behind you. Perhaps some people find it easier to begin with the third person and work backwards. God is love, and that love works through men, especially through the whole community of Christians. But the Spirit of love from all eternity, a love going on between the Father and the Son. God says, I want to invite you into that togetherness with the community of God, perfectly in union together, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, it was like, wow, we get this whole new dynamic presence. It's amazing. Together with God's Spirit, it just doesn't get any better than that. That's really what life is about, to be in that relationship, in that deep relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a question that has often been asked in Christianity, and I think it's a good question, but there's, at some point, I would say that even church leadership, we've asked only one question when really two questions need to be asked. The question that is very important that the evangelical church has been asking for some time is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Now, I think that's an incredibly important question. It can't be a borrowed relationship. Oh, you know, my mother was, or I went to this event, or I jumped through these rituals. And it's really a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's an important question to ask. But I think on some levels, there's another question that's equally as important. And it's this. Do you have a shared relationship with Jesus? That kind of relationship where you are doing life in a committed an intimate way with other followers of Christ. Now, you can have a very real and personal experience with God, absolutely. But you can have perhaps even a deeper experience with God when you experience him with others, his children, together. And on the day of Pentecost, that's what we saw going on. There was this group, and it grew to 3,000 right there. You know, when Jesus was the one, he didn't say, you know, whenever one of you is gathered. He actually said, whenever two or three of you are gathered in my name, he says, there I am in the midst of them. And sometimes we might say, you know, in my spiritual life, I'm missing something. It just doesn't seem, the thing that might be missing might be that longing for a relationship, for a real biblical community, for that kind of deep sense of, you know what, we're in this together, and it's centered around the person of Jesus Christ. That's what that early church experienced. And that's what God invites us to experience together. I love it when I hear testimony of that. And when Kevin did these testimonies on the video, he also invited people, if they didn't want to be in front of a camera or whatever, they could just send a tweet or whatever, an email, and say it in words. And this is what one Coast Hiller said. He said, together is better is what you would call a great relationship with God. The ability to walk with God in all aspects of your life is better together than when you're struggling and always competing with God and where God wants to take you. Somehow when we get in line with him, it's just a way better experience in life. As far as my experiences with Coast Hills, I'd say that I've experienced together is better as I try daily to fulfill God's wishes and learn from my sins/issues with myself. I can work on making my life better is through the life group team. They allow me to open up and talk freely about myself in an aid to together is better. It's awesome. It's great to know that that is what happens. What flows out of Pentecost is so natural when it's just being lived out amongst us. And that's what the believers 2,000 years ago experienced. In Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowships those who were being saved. These people found that together really is a much better way of life. It just flowed out of what they were experiencing with God and the Holy Spirit. I want to bring your attention, just as I wrap things up here, to four things out of that passage that I think is incredibly important. And it's important, I think, to look at ourselves and say, am I experiencing this? Is this something that I'm moving towards? And you might be here this morning, you might be new to the community here at Coastals. We want to invite you to this. We want to invite you to lean in on this, to grow in this. And the first one that it talks about is the teaching of the Bible, experiencing the Bible together. Maybe if you got your programs, you can rank yourself, you can put yourself 1 to 10. Am I experiencing the Bible together with others? Reading God's Word together. I know that's the opportunity we give at Life Group. I think in some way or another to find a context to actually read the Word together. And when that happens, the Bible can really come alive. I know with my men's group, even just this last week, we met over here at the Wired Monk, and all of a sudden, you know, one person says, oh, but you know what, this is what I see in this passage. And the other guy goes, yeah, you know, that I hadn't thought of that. And you have this kind of conversation around God's Word, and it's really what doing life is together. The second one is really, like I said, doing life together, or coming together and knowing that, you know, I'm opening up with people that know my heart. It's a group of people that they might be waking up in the morning with whatever I'm going through on their mind and praying for me. It might be about me waking up in the morning and going, you know what, I'm thinking about these people. That's the idea behind biblical community. I'm really in this together with them. We're walking this journey together. It's wonderful hearing stories about that. Again, another email on this. My experience at Coast Hills started almost 3 years ago when a few moms of young toddlers started meeting weekly to support, encourage, and spend time in God's Word. At the time, I just wanted to connect with other Christian moms, but it was better than that. I developed true friendships with these women. We laugh, cry, pray together, and I love them. Together is better. It's great to hear about that. It's great to know that that is a dynamic life that is going on. Here's another person. Doing Life is another women's group. Has been a huge blessing to me. I feel God's love in a real and personal way as we prayed together, cried together, laughed together, shared meals together, and studied and grown God's Word together. The encouragement and love that I receive touches my heart deeply. I thank God for each one of these amazing women. Now, men's group might not have as much of that cry element to it. It might. But whatever it is, it's actually talking about things that really matter, the substance of life, the things that are really important, this relationship with God and how we're walking through life with this dynamic in our lives. Breaking of bread together. That's the third one in that verse that talked about they came together, they broke bread together. Now, first Sunday of each month, we do that in a communal experience right here. And it's very symbolic. There's also that element of just really enjoying meals together. I love talking with one guy from our church this last week. I said, you know what? I've been invited to your place for barbecue the last two times in the last few weeks. You're having people all over all the time. He says, we love that. And I know that what goes on there, there's a lot of just fun, shallow, whatever, talk and a lot of good things going on. But there's also a sense of real care, really coming together over a meal and doing that koinonia, that kind of fellowship together, having a spiritual time over meal. It's so cool when that happens. I know each year we run an Alpha program here at Coast Hills, and part of that, a very intensive part of it, or a really intentional part of it, is having a meal together as well. It's so cool when that's happening. That's what the early believers enjoyed together. And then the final thing, sharing prayer together, to really come together and to pray for each other, to listen to each other, and then be able to bring that to God. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer says. He wrote a number of books. He was I've talked about him before, but he lived during the Nazi time in Germany and called the church to really experience what was truly in God. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes this, "The first service that one owes to others is the fellowship consists of listening to them. Just as love of God begins with listening to his word, so the beginning of love for our brothers and sisters is learning to listen to them." He wrote that in his book, Life Together, back in the 1930s. That is really where it starts, is listening to each other, listening to God, and then saying, you know what, we're going to bring this to God together. That's what the kind of prayer that happened amongst these people. And then what happened with these folks is a much better result came about because of this better life together that they were experiencing. There was this sense in which they came together and they said, you know what? It's amazing what's coming out of this. Acts 2, 44 and 45 says, "All the believers were together, had everything in common, selling their possessions of good they gave to everyone as they had need." I'm going to just read a few more of these verses and close. "Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." This kind of fellowship, this kind of togetherness, it comes when we, first of all, bring ourselves to God and say, God, you know what? I want to enter into that dynamic relationship with you. Maybe I want to enter into it a new way. I want to grab hold of that that's there for me. And coming together in a shared experience with another person to do that. At Coast Hills, we celebrate today the way in which that happens in life groups, in ministry teams, in the ongoing relational contact that just goes on in so much of the unplanned and spontaneous ways in which relationships are developed. We want to invite you to celebrate that this morning, to come together. And something we've done recently too, and as we talk about prayer, is give some more priority to prayer at Coast Hills, to give more and more opportunity for that. And I know there's people meeting before church to pray. I know there's a whole group. We talked about a day of prayer and the wall of prayer the last 10 days, a whole group of people praying yesterday throughout the day. It's exciting when that kind of connection with God just gets elevated, gets raised. And something else we've been giving an opportunity to in the last couple months is an opportunity to just pray with somebody. And we want to give you that opportunity again. There'll be a number of people at the back just as we close in a song. Kim St. Pierre is going to be back there, and Irv, and Peter, and Rob will be back there as well. If you want to pray with somebody during the closing song, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. And then after the song, we're going to give a chance to, for those who would like to or are able to, stay for lunch. We've got a lunch that's going to be served. And you're welcome to stay for that as well. So we're going to just take these chairs and bring in some tables and put the chairs around the tables and enjoy our lunch together. And then at some point during the lunch too, Rob, our chair of our leadership team, he's going to bring us a celebrative point at which he will share what the offering was today as well. And that will be, I'm sure, a great point too. So you're welcome to stay for that. I want to invite you to stand right now, and we'll close with a song. And as I said, during this song, if you'd like to pray with anybody, there's you'll find these folks at the back wall or along the sides of the gym, and you can pray with them. And maybe there's just something you come here this morning with, and you say, you know what, God, I just want to bring that to you. I invite you to do that. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the shared life that you invite us to actually participate with you, the triune God, with the Trinity, through your Holy Spirit, to enter into that dance. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that is a dynamic, pulsating life that goes on. And we can enter into that together with others and experience just a whole new fullness of this shared experience with you. God, I thank you that it produces incredible results in our lives, that we experience life at a whole nother level. And Lord, I just want to thank you for this ministry season that we're celebrating here today, for all that you have done this past year in so many aspects and in so many avenues here at Coast Hills. We just want to thank you for that, God. Every good gift comes from you. We thank you for that. And you receive all the glory. We thank you for the meal that we're about to participate in as well. We thank you for your food, for all the good things you give us. In your name, amen.